know, I notice the beautiful flowers up here. Did you guys notice that in the Dennis and Adi? Is that true? You guys look too young. How many years? Where are you guys? Stand up. Where's Adi? Yeah, there you are in the back. Congratulations to you guys. 33 years. Praise the Lord for that. I want to ask how you did it, but I think I already know. Christ in the center of the home, man. That's amazing. 33 years. I wanted to say this about the parking lot. The parking lot, it has some soft spots, and we just couldn't move forward. We were supposed to have it done this Sabbath, but we have to wait for a dry. We got to get it done right before we move forward. And so hopefully, it looks like by 99% we're going to get it done this week. And so that's going to be exciting, isn't it? And I know some people say, I'm staying away because of that dirt I have to walk across. But I'm glad that you are here today. And one other thing I want to mention before I get into the Word, and that is the fishermen ministry. Robert and Dennis and others are involved. We got about, how many we have there last Monday? About 18? 18 people involved in the fishermen ministry. We have somewhere around, I think, 40.
Oh, we have 63.
63 cards or interests from the LE or the cards. So we have people going out every week giving Bible studies right now in our church. Is that exciting?
Amen.
And that means God's Spirit will be poured out. Amen. Because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witness. And so the Holy Spirit is poured out in that. And so I'm excited about what is happening in our church right now. And I know our numbers are low, but hey, people are having, I know, a great time. And I know they're being blessed in camp meeting. At camp meeting right now, I've been hearing all the blessings and what's going on. Let's pray and let's ask God to be here. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come into your presence right now. Thank you for the promise that you will speak through me and through your word. And so I pray that you would draw us to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about a series called The Blessed Life. It's based on the words of Jesus that it's more blessed to give than receive. That the key to the blessed life is having a heart of generosity. Last Sabbath I talked about tithe, that you and I have the privilege, the honor of giving back our tithe back to God. And it really belongs to Him anyway, but we have that privilege to give back what really belongs to Him. So as we give our first and our best, He's promised to bless the what? The rest in our life. You know, I was thinking, C.D. Brooks, I heard this on 3ABN radio here, and I love C.D. Brooks. He's one of my favorite preachers in the whole world. This guy can preach, but he was talking about tithe and giving back to God and so on, and there was a guy that was convicted about his tithe sermon, so he comes up afterwards, and the guy comes up to him and says, Pastor, I was so convicted, I'm having a really hard time giving an honest tithe. He says, you know, when I made about $40,000, $50,000 a year, it wasn't a big deal. But now I'm making like $1 million a year, and I'm really having a hard time writing the check. And he says, Pastor, will you pray for me? And C.D. goes, I'll pray for you right now. And he says, Lord, I pray that you will reduce this man's salary till he can pay an honest tithe. And that guy says, no, Pastor, I got it, I'll do it. See, our Heavenly Father really does want to pour out the windows of heaven on your life. He really wants to shower His blessings on you. And I found out in my life, everything in my walk with Jesus is about faith anyway. Why not trust Him? Trust Him with everything. Not just lip service, but with everything. The way we trust God, we show we trust God, is the way that we give. I want to raise a question. If God blesses the generous, if He pours out His blessings on those who give, then the question I want to raise today is, how do we become that generous person? You just don't decide one day, I'm going to be generous. What happens for us to get this generous heart that God has? What change takes place from being self-centered and covetous and greedy and worldly to having a heart that we are generous and give back and bless others in our lives. There's a story in the Bible of a man. As I was thinking about this, there's one man that stood out to me. It's a familiar story. It's in Luke chapter 19. You take your Bible, you want to turn there. Luke chapter 19, it says, and as we're going there, there was a story of a local fitness center. He was offering $1,000 to anyone that could show themselves stronger than him. Now, he's the owner. He's a muscle man. He's a big guy. And the challenge was he would take a lemon, and he would crush that lemon, and all the drops would fall out, and he'd fill, you know, a partial of the cup, and he would just squeeze. And the challenge was, after he squeezed all the lemon juice out, if there was anyone that could even squeeze one more drop out of the lemon, he would give him $1,000. Well, time goes on, and I mean, all these challengers came. There was big muscle men. There was lumberjacks. There was professional wrestlers. People were coming for the challenge. And no one won it, and so time went on. And finally, one day, a little skinny, short guy walks in, and everybody looks at him, and he signs his name for the challenge. And everybody's laughing at him, and he's getting over this. So the big guy, he squeezes all the lemon juice out of the lemon, and here's this little wrinkled lemon, and this guy, they're all laughing. But as he takes his lemon, everybody starts to get silent and quiet because all of a sudden, this guy drops 6 drops out of the lemon. And they're all just speechless. And even the guy, the owner, could not believe it. He gives the guy $1,000. He says, "What in the world? You're a small, short guy. What in the world? Are you a weightlifter? You must lift weights. You must be a lumberjack. What do you do for a living? I mean, how did you do that?" He says, "I work for the IRS. I thought that, man, I just had to laugh, you know, when I saw that. But here's a true letter that was sent to the IRS. "Enclosed, you will find a check for $150. I cheated on my income tax return last year, and I have not been able to sleep ever since. If I still had trouble sleeping, I would send you the rest." They actually received that letter. Well, this morning we're going to focus on a high-ranking IRS man who didn't cheat on his return, but on everyone else's. See, this man had figured out a way how to skim money off the top and to squeeze every last drop out of the people's purses or wallets or whatever they carried their money in back in those days. And Luke 19 tells his story. Jesus is actually on his last trip to Jerusalem. And on the way there, he stops in Jericho. Now, he's already healed blind Bartimaeus on his way on the outskirts of town. But now as he comes to the center of town, he meets this man named Zacchaeus. And he's a very wealthy government man. He has reached the top rung of the economic ladder. But when he meets Jesus, everything in his life is changed. And his world is going to be turned upside down after he meets Jesus. Don't you want your world to be turned upside down? I mean, don't you want to meet Jesus right here today? Don't you want to hear Jesus today? Imagine him walking in here today next to you. What would he be saying to you? He knows your heart. He knows what you need. But Jesus comes walking through town, and here it is, Luke 19. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business. And he had become very what? He had become very rich. Now, as you read on, it goes on here. It says, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowds. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. Now, can you see this picture? Zacchaeus, he's a man of prominence. By the way, the word in Hebrew, do you know what Zacchaeus means? Zacchaeus means pure and righteous. kind of a, it's like backwards. I mean, he was anything but pure and righteous. This guy is a tax collector. He works for Rome. He's considered a traitor by the Jewish people. And so by working for Rome, it's telling you one thing right off. If you're working for Rome, it's telling you you love money and things and material possessions more than you love anything else. Because to make that choice to work for Rome, you're basically saying, I don't need anything else in my life. I want my money. I want my stuff. I want power. I want position. And notice something else about him. He is the chief tax collector. Not just one of these people don't know that works out in these little offices, little booths every so often. He is the main dude down there. And he's in Jericho. And Jericho is a crossroads of civilization at the time. And people are coming and going. And so here is Zacchaeus, man. He's like the pyramid of all these people giving. I mean, he's padding his pockets with all the shekels. And I could just imagine every day the guy's just bringing it in every day. So Rome is saying, I want 10% of your income. And he'd make the people pay 15%. And 5% would go in the pockets. Because we don't know how long this happened. All we know that he was doing this and he was becoming very, very rich at the expense of the people. But what we know as you read the story, something isn't right with Zacchaeus. He's got all the wealth in the world. Probably the most wealthy man around. He's got power. He's got everything. He's got all the money you can imagine. He's got it all. But there's something missing in his life. See, I've noticed something in life, you know, because, you know, remember I talked about last week about how money is the number one competitor with God. It's the number one competition. And this is going on. You know, Zacchaeus, you know, he loves the good life. He loves the stuff, but there's something missing. He's got this empty, aching void. Isn't it amazing that you can have everything and yet have nothing? You can have this emptiness, and that is him. He's longing for more. See, as I look at his life, one of the greatest needs in life is to feel valuable. To feel like your life really does matter. Isn't that one of the greatest needs we have? My life matters. See, in our society, we tend to base our self-worth on four things. First of all, we base it on our appearance. How we look, right? We want to look good. That's why you spend some time in the mirror before you came. How many spent some time in the mirror? We all did, right? We looked the best we could with what we have, right? How we look, we judge our worth by our achievements, our successes. What have I accomplished? We judge our worth on the approval of others. How am I liked? Do people like me? And we judge our worth on the affluency. What do we have? Don't we? But see, the problem with judging our life by those things is those things change. Think about it. Your appearance. I look at pictures and I said, what happened? That's not the same guy. I'm telling when I was in the 20s, what happened? We change over time. You know, and our achievements, they lose their value. People can walk away from us at any time. Our stuff deteriorates, it gets old and all that. Self-worth is always on shaky ground. See, I found there's one place. One place that won't change. One place that will give you self-worth that will last. And it will last your lifetime and through eternity. And that one thing is, your self-worth is based on what God thinks of you. That's what really matters. What does God think of you? Notice what it says, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too what? He was too short. Now, I've never had that problem, sorry. To see over the crowds. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch there. See, there's something drawing Zacchaeus, wasn't there? Can you read it in the story? There's something. He's got this aching void. He's wondering, can Jesus make a difference? He's heard about him. He's heard about his preaching. He's heard about his healing. There's something that's drawing him to Jesus. And so he's curious, and he wants to see Jesus. And so it says he runs ahead. He's this short man. He wants to see over the crowd. You can see him trying to work his way through the crowd. But see, people didn't like Zacchaeus. So I can imagine somebody giving an accidental elbow. Oh, excuse me, Zacchaeus. Sorry about that. And this is the tax collector that took my money. It's making my life hard. And I can imagine you're not getting close to Jesus. You don't deserve it. You're a big-time sinner. So he's trying, but he can't get through the crowd. So what he does, he runs. Can you see little Zacchaeus? He sees a tree up ahead, and he runs to the tree, and he climbs up a tree. See, the deal is that a wealthy person back in those days would never run. But he's running. And on top of that, there's no way this guy would actually climb up into a tree, do something a kid would do, not a wealthy man of prominence. That would never happen. But here's Zacchaeus. There's something drawing him to this Jesus. And so he runs ahead and he climbs up in his tree. See, if there's anyone that needed an encounter with Jesus in Jericho, it was Zacchaeus. If there's anyone that really needed a change, it was this dishonest tax collector. If there's anyone who needed a stronger sense of self-worth, it was Zacchaeus. I mean, his appearance. He was not beautiful, I don't think. He was a little short guy, right? There's nothing wrong with short, sorry. I got to be careful. His only real achievement was overcharging people and cheating people for financial gain. His approval rating? What do you think his approval rating was with the people there in Jericho? In the sewer. See, he wasn't just a traitor. If you were a tax collector, it was treasonous to the Jewish people. I mean, he is as low as low can be. See, to be a Jewish tax collector, your family would disown you. You would never be allowed to worship in the synagogue, the church. You'd be considered as bad as a murderer to be a tax collector. So it was a big choice when he chose, I'm a little short guy, I don't have a lot, and I'm going to become, so I can have a name for myself, I can have some self-worth, I can feel good about myself. I could just see it. As a result, Zacchaeus was miserable on the inside. His life was filled with guilt and shame. I can imagine he didn't have a whole lot of good nights of sleep. He was always tossing and turning because that's what guilt and sin does in your life, right? He knows he's dishonest. He knows he's a cheat. He knows he's not a good person. He knows all that. It goes around in his mind all the time. And it's amazing. Here's a guy that has everything. But he doesn't have the things that really matter. What are the things that really matter in life? Is it really what we live in, what we drive? How much we have in the bank? What kind of retirement we're going to have? Is that really what matters the most? Or is it having Jesus in the heart? Is it having peace in the midst of a world where there is no peace and joy and love and all that? Isn't that what we really want in life? See, that's what Zacchaeus really wanted. He just didn't know it. But then came that day that changed everything. It was just one brief encounter with Jesus, and his life was completely changed. Why? Because he learned how much he mattered to God. When you learn that in your life, everything will change for you. When you realize how valuable, how much you matter to the God of heaven and earth, it will change your life forever. I'm going to give you three truths about this story. First of all, Jesus notices you. Doesn't matter how you feel today. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if nobody else is noticing you. Jesus notices you. Amen? Zacchaeus wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. And so here he is running, and it's shocking to see this man run up a tree and to run. But even more shocking is that Jesus would walk straight through Jericho, this busy city, and by thousands of people, and run straight to a tree and look up and notice this dishonest sinner and stop there at the base of that tree and look up at this man who was unworthy. Verse 5, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your home today. Do you see grace? Do you see mercy? Do you see love in those words from Jesus? It isn't an amazing thing that Jesus knew his name. The scoundrel of all scoundrels, he knew his name. Jesus stopped to spend time, to look up, to notice this low-down, no-good-for-nothing, unworthy tax collector. See, Jesus loves sinners. If the church would ever get this, really get it in the heart. Jesus loves sinners. He loves people like Zacchaeus. Dishonest cheats. He loves them. And see, Jesus looks beyond the externals. He looks right to the heart and he sees this emptiness. And he sees this dark hole in his life, and he can see that Zacchaeus wants more, and that Zacchaeus wants to get out of this dark hole that he's put himself in. Maybe this morning you feel like Zacchaeus. You feel like you're in a dark hole. You know there's more. You want to get out. Maybe you feel like you're out on a limb, or you're up in a tree, or God has forsaken you. But the same Jesus that stopped for Zacchaeus will stop for you. See, we were always on his mind. That's a hard one to believe, isn't it? 6 billion, going on 7 billion people. How could God really care about me? We are on his mind all the time. We are on his focus, in his eyes all the time. Everything we do, everything we say, our lives matter to our God. And see, that's what happened that changed Zacchaeus. He began to see, wow, Jesus, Lord, he loves me. He wants to spend time with me. I matter to God. Luke 12, verse 7, it says, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows. Do you feel that valuable to God? Even the hair on your head, some of us have more hair than others. But they're all numbered. It's amazing. I can't comprehend it. It's hard for me to comprehend. See, the deepest expression of love is attention. When we give somebody our attention, we are telling we love you. It's like with our kids, when we give attention to our kids, we're saying, we love you. That's what God is giving here. He's really saying, you are in my focus, Zacchaeus. I love you. And he pays attention and he stops. See, how do you change a man, a self-centered man, to a generous man? They realize they matter to God. They realize that Jesus, the God of heaven, takes notice of them. The second reason that I see three truths is Jesus lifts you up. One of the things that's very clear, you know, it's amazing that here is Jesus. And I'm sure that Zacchaeus, his whole life, he has been ridiculed his whole life, don't you think? And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus in front of this huge crowd, and he calls up, and he looks up, and he calls this man by name, Zacchaeus. See, that means that Jesus knew the name of the biggest scoundrel in the city. But in spite of Zacchaeus' sin, Jesus lifts him up while everybody else is tearing him down. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that says that we are a masterpiece. That you and I are a masterpiece. Do you feel like a masterpiece? See, I noticed there's really two types of artwork out there. There is prints, they're mass-produced, you know, larger scale produced on a larger scale, they're identical, but there's also the masterpiece, and that's when the artist spends time painting, drawing a beautiful masterpiece. And it can take months for a person to finish this masterpiece. You and I are a masterpiece. Do you feel like a masterpiece? That's who we are. We are unique. We got purpose. We're not like anybody else. We are a masterpiece. I love this verse. I'm going to go back. This verse back here, it says, "See, I have written your name on the palms of my hand." When Jesus looks at his nail-scarred hands, what is he looking? What else is he looking at? Your name. When he looks at the nail-scarred hands and what he accomplished for us, he's also looking at our names. You might be saying, "I can't see my value because of all that's happened to me." God is saying, "I can see all your value in spite of what's happened to you." When the world trips you up, Jesus will lift you up. Jesus takes notice of you. Jesus will lift you up. But what I love the most is Jesus wants you. See, it's the hardest thing for us to understand is that no matter what we've done in our life, God still loves us. He still wants to have this personal, intimate relationship with us. See, Jesus just didn't walk up there to the tree and look and notice Zacchaeus. He didn't just call him by name and affirm him in front of this huge crowd, but he invites himself to the home of Zacchaeus. By the way, that's the only place in the Gospels that Jesus invites himself home, to somebody's home to eat and be with them. What is Jesus saying? "I don't care what you've done, Zacchaeus. I love you. I want to come to your house. I want to sit down with you. I want to eat with you." In verse 7, "But the crowds were displeased. They said, 'He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner,' and they grumbled." Wow. These people weren't getting it, were they? But here is Jesus. He doesn't care what the people are saying. He doesn't care what they think. Zacchaeus is valuable to him. See, we've all done things we're ashamed of. We've all been hurt, and people have hurt us. We're all unworthy of God's attention. But see, God is far more interested in changing us than he is condemning us. Amen? Amen. And so Zacchaeus, he runs quickly. Quickly, it says, he climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Was that a good day for Zacchaeus? Man, is that amazing? In great joy. He quickly climbs down. You see him there. And I can just see him taking Jesus down. And he's filled with his joy and excitement. See, I believe that we can experience Jesus every day. That there's excitement and joy in knowing Jesus every day. See, just to me, the real message in this whole story is that the one that is pursuing us, the one that is coming there, the one that is noticing us, is the one that's asking to come to our house. He's asking to come into our hearts. And in my mind, I'm thinking of the end time. In my mind, I'm thinking of Laodicea. In my mind, I'm thinking of people that are rich and increase with good, have need of nothing. In my mind, I'm thinking of me. And I see Jesus knocking at the door. See, Laodicea are believers. They're people that believe in God. But Jesus is there knocking, "Will you let me in?" And Jesus comes every day, doesn't he? Every day he comes. He comes down your street. He comes knocking at your door. He says, "Will you let me in? Let's have a relationship. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been. Let's start a relationship together. Meanwhile, so Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Wow. I mean, I've heard a tither and a little bit more. Have you thought about giving half away? Notice Zacchaeus is all of a sudden a changed man. One simple, one short encounter with Christ, and he is changed forever. And notice he has just gone from the most selfish man in town to the most generous person in town because he has encountered Jesus Christ. See, what happened? Jesus happened. That's what happened. It's as simple as that. When Jesus comes into your life, everything changes. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Amen. Some of you maybe don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it's amazing because I've been there. I know what happened. Everything changes. Everything. All of a sudden, you're just living for yourself, and then everything changes, and all of a sudden, now you want to live to bless others. Now you want to give away all this joy, this happiness, this stuff you have that's new and fresh and powerful. You can't hardly wait to give it away. I know it's true. It's happened in my life. It happened in Zacchaeus' life. Attitudes change. You become more generous. Everything changes. See, if you want to be, if you really want the heart of Jesus, if you want the heart of Zacchaeus, to become that generous person that you really want to be, then it goes back. It goes back to opening the door of your life. See, I've noticed something over the years because, you know, when I was a brand new Christian, I had nothing. I had a Toyota four-wheel drive. I had a couple motorcycles. I had quite a bit of money. I didn't worry about much, you know, all that. But I noticed something as time goes on, that you get more comfortable and you have more stuff. Have you noticed that the rental places, those little rental sheds are a big business today? Storage. It's amazing. We accumulate more and more and we fill up and we do, and I'm as bad as anybody. And this whole series has been convicting me. Wow. Do I have the heart of Jesus? Do I just give lip service? Do I really have that generous heart? Have I really encountered Christ? And I've noticed something over the years that I hang on a little tighter to stuff, that I don't give as freely as I used to give. I used to give everything in my pockets at one time. I just didn't care. You know, but I tell you, it changes the closer you get to Jesus. Amen. And things begin to happen inside of you. And you release, and you give away. You know, I'm going to have Angie, I'm going to have you come up. There's just a need that came up, and I just heard about this week, but I just felt like it's a great need. And Angie, there's a need. Laotian kids, there's some kids that have a great need. What is their need, and how can we help as a church?
Okay, last week we ran into the Fresno Interdenominational Refugee Ministries. These are children that have been brought here from mostly Laos, Siberia, and Ethiopia. And every day these children are being brought here. Can you imagine being in a country where you're serving God and it's illegal and your parents are killed for it? Each one of these children are orphans and they've been brought here. Some of them have shoes and it's very little, and most of them have no underwear or socks. They're brought into Fresno through this organization. And then they're put with their nationality. There's about 15,000 families in Fresno that take on these children. We were going through the complex last Wednesday, Jeff and I were, and we ran into one lady. She's from Laos. She's blind. She's taken in 7 refugee children, and she takes care of them blind. I did get to see her house. They have no furniture, and they all sit on the floor. One child we saw had one pair of pants, and they were so dirty, but that's all he had. So changing out of them and getting them washed was just not going to happen anytime soon. Most of them have no shoes, no socks, no underwear. We were up there Wednesday. I wanted to bring them all home because I felt so bad for them. You can research this organization online. They do not advertise highly that they're a Christian organization because they do get aid from different organizations. And being a Christian organization, they wouldn't get a lot. But they do a lot. They've brought in about 6,500 refugees over the past few years. They just got in new refugees about three weeks ago, about 30 of them. Each of their parents had been killed for being Christians. They're in desperate need for clothes, mostly shoes, socks, and underwear.
And how can, we're going to take an offering. I'm just going to tell you, you weren't prepared for this, but you can write a check or whatever. What should we call this, Laotian ministry or something like that? But I know we probably have enough in our pockets even left over that we could have a really nice offering for them to take to buy socks. So instead of all of us go out getting underwear and socks, we can take the money, Angie and Jeff can purchase that and take it down and supply a need. And I heard that, and I think we need to be more spontaneous. I think we should plan and be strategic, but I think this is an opportunity to make a difference right now. You got to put yourself in the position of these kids. We are so blessed. Let's give a little bit back. So the deacons will be at the doors on the way out if you'd like to help with that, okay? Thanks,
Thank
Angie. Thank you. I'm going to play a little video before you leave right now, and I just want to remind you, I know many of you have heard the voice of God, you've given your life to Christ, and I know that, but we need to be reminded how special we are to God, how much we matter to God, because when we understand that, it would change everything, and we'll see, wow, Christ loved us enough to give his life and die for us. Listen.
You might be the wife waiting up at night. You might be the man struggling to provide, feeling like it's hopeless. Maybe you're the son who chose a broken road. Maybe you're the girl thinking you'll end up alone. Praying, God, can you hear me? Oh, God, are you listening? Keep asking, oh, what everybody.
Heavenly Father, it's a great message, Lord. Help us to see that we are worthy of your death, Lord, and to see how much value you place on each one of us. God, make our church a blessing to people around us, Lord. May you live through us, Lord. And God, shine your light in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.